Hello, everyone, and welcome to SeaView Quantum Network. I'm your presenter, Daniel, and I'm here with producer Claudia Pareco. Our opening song features Sunset Serenade by Cycloned. Albums and singles are available in all music stores and platforms. A moment of your time is one of the most extraordinary gifts we could ever be given. Each week, we create a place for you to rest your heart by providing the platform for peaceful connection to the most gifted light workers, intuitive, alternative healers who will surprise you with something different, something outside of what's expected, innovative and unique. Our shows are held on Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern U.S. time and 9 a.m. Pacific time. At any moment to participate on our shows, please call 805-830-8344 and press 1 to talk with the host. Take My Call. At any moment before or during the show, you can opt for Take My Call and jump the long line of callers. We are now following the Pay What You Can business model. You pay what you feel our services are worth to you. You can send a payment using paypal.me/PUREPCO and add the amount that you want. To request a show, please write to Claudia Pareco at seaview1111@gmail.com or visit our website, seaview1111.net. Now, close your eyes and get in touch with the present, the only reality. Feel your body, feel your breath, and let it drift back to the present moment.
Thank you, everybody, for being here, and welcome to another enlightening episode of Conversations with the Sword of Truth with your host, Jovan Nicola. Today we delve into a thought-provoking topic. Let me ask you, do you believe in evil? And how do you believe that serves? Imagine a world where the concept of evil doesn't exist. What if, instead of labeling actions and individuals as evil, we focus on understanding the root causes of harmful behavior and embrace empathy and compassion? By switching that, are we really not talking about evil, or are we just using a different word for the same expression? So how would this shift in perspective, impact our society, our justice systems, in our personal relationship? Kelvin is the emissary of truth with over 33 years of experience in energy transformation, and she invites us to ponder these profound questions. With her deep understanding of higher consciousness, Kelvin will guide us through an exploration of how the belief in evil shapes our reality, and what will happen if we move up beyond this dichotomy? Can we separate ourselves from that? Can we end with this divide inside of ourselves, in our brains, in our society? Could it lead to a more inclusive, compassionate, and rehabilitate approach to life? Join us today as we challenge conventional beliefs, seeking to understand how shifting our perspective on evil can open pathways to healing, maybe self-discovery, and societal transformation. Could it be that simple to shift the thought and everything changes? Do we need to make it more difficult and believe that it is not possible? So remember, call 805-830-8344 and press number 1 when you're ready for your comment. All of your opinions are valid, and we are here just to share. Remember that there are many other workshops, services, and things that you can, and her book that you can get at Sioven's website by her name, SiovenNicolau.com, and it is S as in Sam, I, O, B as in Brian, H, A, N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, I, D as in Carlos, O, L as in Larry, A, D as in Carlos, O, U.com. Or send an email to sovereignmastery@gmail.com. So now let's bring Steven to the show and let's start us in this conversation. And remember, this is something that you can add your opinion. Send us a message, chat with us, and share your thoughts. Steven, thank you for being here. I am so happy to have you here to talk about one more topic of controversy, and not controversy, thought-provoking, because pretty much it makes you stop in your, it makes you stop and think about these things that we believe and that we say to ourselves without really understanding the impact that those words, those beliefs make of our reality on plain earth.
Yes. Yeah, nobody really wants to question that because it's a topic they find so uncomfortable and basically within themselves. It's very easy to divide and judge instead of looking inward where all of that exists to begin with. And so we do create our reality from the inside out, both individually and collectively. And we forget the power that we have to love, which if we just simply did that within ourselves, would shift it all. There is no thought on the subject. It is not a concept. I guess evil is a concept because most people try to understand it with the mind, but then the mind just goes upon what it has read or learned from a book. But the way I came to really know, if you will, at the deepest levels, the evil in the world and what it is by how spirit has made this my path, and it began so many years ago. It was either I transform my pain or succumb to it. And we all do to some degree. We sacrifice ourselves, our joy, our lives, our perspective, everything based upon how we feel. And our feelings are often overlooked as we give the mind so much credit to figure things out. And you're not going to find it. You're not going to find the answers you're looking for in the mind. And that's why when we stop people in their tracks to ponder, if they would just get down to how they felt, they would really know the truth of its origins. Then, getting down to the feeling is where it is. And what we've discovered in this path that I've been on for so long and continue to evolve, it's been through my own path of evolution that these things have become the consciousness within me that they are. And it's not an easy path. If you read my book, then you'll understand why we call it the absence of evil. But that only comes to your consciousness to be a truth for you when you've overcome the division within your soul that keeps you in division. Now, when we're born, and we've said this on previous shows or even before you're born, when you're conceived, because you come into form, you are part of that experience. Negative emotion is part of the physical experience. And so we feel that when you're baptized, let's say, I know I was within a week of my birth, just in case, I believe that original sin is actually, well, hey, you're born into duality now. God bless you on your journey to find wholeness, which, good luck with that, pal. And by the way, we have, Yeshua Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, right, who is the love that we're giving you to overcome this, but nobody does it, so they can't teach you how to do it. And that consciousness doesn't come from a church. It comes from the consciousness of love you make conscious within you first. So original sin is just that. There really is no sin. It's your what the meaning you give every act. And people will argue that, what do you think about like this expression of it, like Hitler or these really just unbelievable things that have had that we witness in this world through the news or whatever, or personally. And we have to say that it is an action of negative emotion, an outward expression of that emotion that is held within the emotional body that creates what people then judge to be evil. Because when you deny how you feel in the worst of ways and turn it in on yourself, you would literally believe that about yourself. You could cover it up with something else, and you can cover it up with judgments, and you can keep projecting that into the world to become more of the problem. Or you can learn how to love yourself and transform your way out of it. So you have to be so far from your awareness that there is light that you really don't know what you do when you do it. Now, negative emotion is a consciousness, and how people interpret that through their external and their inward senses here is through whether it feels good and light or whether it feels bad and dark. But in truth, consciousness doesn't even have a light or a dark. It's just consciousness. It's nothingness. It's just a purity. It just is. But this dimension, when we're born into it, right from the start, we're being imbued with negative emotion because the vessel is forming in the womb, and that's part of the physical experience. And so it just keeps getting bigger as we grow. These examples of how we feel being created in our reality and responded, reflected off of others, and then it becomes a belief as soon as we get our mind in play about 8 or 9 years old that can define how we feel, and then it says, yep, that's bad, that's good, but they're out of touch with how they feel on the subject. And so it's really the, if you break it down within yourself and say, this subject, I feel very strongly about this, and there's a million subjects, there are infinite subjects people are divided on within themselves. And if you're divided on any subject, you can take that one thing and you can bring love to that conflict, which begins and ends within you, you know, begins with you. So if you took the love to that conflict and got down to what that, where the origin of that conflict is for you, you're going to find it here, number one, in this life, from your very basic growing up stages, you know, you get all your reflections, you're, you know, imprinting there, and then you get all your reflections around you. But you can take it back to how you felt about what happened, not exactly what happened, you know, there's a difference. It's not the story, and the more that the story, the mind comes into play, the mind talks about the story, which empowers the story rather than the truth, and keeps people off the track to love, because they get more validation in external realities. They can find thousands of people. I mean, when I asked people, spiritual people, primarily, if they believed in evil, and these are people that are practicing, you know, their spirituality, and I'm not saying anything's wrong, and because I'm certainly not perfect, but it was interesting to pose that to them, because 7 out of 10 people said they believe in evil. And because I feel, and I've experienced that all evil begins and ends with the way you feel within yourself first, then if you're out there trying to heal the reflection that you're creating, then you're more of the problem than you are the solution. So people say, you know, like you said in your introduction, can we separate that out? And no, you can't. Separation's the problem. We can't be separated from that which is ourself. And because it's energy in this dimension, and everything's energy, and energy is everything, we can transform it, because it's a fact that you can't, you know, energy doesn't dissipate, but it transforms. That's why alchemy is such a huge buzzword, but very few people really get through the true process of alchemy. And I've only found that through the inner process of alchemy that turns the lead within my own aura to the gold that it actually is. So people will even agree that darkness is an illusion, this whole reality is an illusion, yet they're divided on the subject by believing in evil. So it's a worthy topic. It gets people to turn them in back in themselves and go, wait a second. How's that true?
And how is it that, how can you stop believing in evil? Like, what is the process or what is the worthiness of just poof, evil doesn't exist?
Okay, well, it's a heck of a process, right? I know I can only speak from my own experience, but, you know, you look at this consciousness overall, and any way you slice it, it comes up that. And so people don't think their thoughts are evil because they don't think anybody can hear them. They don't think anybody's impacted by them. They just hold on to their negative thinking. Well, their negative thinking is as evil as anything else because it's the same vibrational frequency. And the way they feel is interpreted by the mind that creates that thought. Now, granted, we are receivers as human, and there are times I'm perceiving energy in my mind that I know that it's not me. I know that it is a thought I'm picking up on because I'm telepathic and other things like that from certain areas, and I'm like, nah, I don't think so, right? But it has to be in resonance because it's in this dimension and everything is energy again. So anything you're experiencing happens to you in resonance. So there are no mistakes. It's energy. So your negative thoughts are a problem. Your negative thoughts are interpreting how you really feel. And one of our sayings as the sword of truth is ignorance is ignorance. It's the part of yourself that you deny and fight an external reality. And so we keep thinking it's outside, and I've gotten caught in that myself as I'm going through, trying to sort through the infinite amount of feelings I have based upon any circumstance that is in contrast to my soul, you know, in my being that I'm going through. But I've only been able to come to that perception within myself by doing that inner work to arrive at that. So you can't think your way out of the evil box because thinking is the problem. The mind divides. And so when you learn how to control your thoughts, I don't mean by smash them or make them go away. This is where love comes in. When we bring love into anything, it's not a divisive energy. If you're in high, you cannot solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it. Love is higher consciousness, and you're in love, you're not going to be divided. So if you're divided on any subject, you are not whole within yourself on that subject. And so I shifted it. Contrary to popular belief, you know, all of our negative thoughts and experiences come from our emotional body first because that's where the energy started this life. It can lead you to other things along your eternal now timeline, because negative emotion from what they want to call past lives is left here when you died, have died here before, and that energy is still active doing whatever you were doing along that, quote, eternal now timeline. So you come back to experience these things within some of us in our immediate family environments, you know, straight away, because there are larger amounts of the energy you've left here from before that are here to either you can be consumed by them or become more of that consciousness, or you can choose love and become, find the love within it all. So in truth, there is no duality, but duality is here, and that will be your experience until you arrive at another perception. But the perception doesn't arrive from changing your mind, because if you look left to avoid what's right, that in and of itself is divided. And so many people want to skip that step of love. And why do you think these golden light masters have been sent to us? Why do you think it's, you know, I mean, I consider myself a golden light master in my own right, having done this work for so long and continuing to do it. It is how I evolve. It's how my work evolves. It's how my ability to stand in, you know, of non-duality. To stand in the place of wholeness is to not be on one side or the other. And when you look at so many people, you know, who believe in evil, but they don't hear the words of one of the greatest masters, Yeshua. And he healed people by never seeing them sick to begin with. He never saw them sick in that they were healed. That is profound. And people don't stop and kind of feel what that means. How can you heal something empowering that you're sick? How much sense does that actually make? You have to let go of that. You have to, do the inner work to bring that around within yourself. It's a conflict that begins and ends within you. As a collective, it's not easy because we've been ingrained through religion and other schools of thought that keep us in division. And this is what we're really needing to come out of now as things are going to continue to become more contrasted until we get that love is what sets you free. And so many people will agree with that. But very few people believe that it's enough to know about love rather than become love. Love is not a doing, it's a being. So many people are out doing love and acting love, but they're not really being that within themselves. So it's very limited in its effect to be able to heal. It's not lasting, let's put it that way. The energy of negative emotion can be transformed, and that is lasting. Some of these issues can take longer to get to the, to completely transform, but we're worth it. I don't think I could be alive if I didn't follow this path that was given to me. I was literally told when I was a channel so many years ago, like in 1994, I had been channeling. I loved it, this being, Octavar, my joy guide, all this stuff. It was super fun, and I'm not dissing channeling. I'm just saying that I was so separate within myself. They were encouraging me to know that I was the information I was seeking. And when they turned me inward and gave me the golden light to work with, that's when my whole path that is, evolved into what it is now began. And it was to get me out of that illusion that I needed to go somewhere for what I was. I needed to own that within myself. And I've taken myself down the quite human path of going outside and putting people above me and asking things here to get them to do something so I could be more of who I am. But that'll only work a certain percentage. It's like they'll only do a little bit of that. And you've got to do the rest of the work. Otherwise, you have to keep going back to get it again and again and again. So this path here teaches you how to emancipate yourself, body, mind, and soul from the illusion of evil from the inside out. So if it were a pill, it would be a lot more popular.
Yes, I'm sure, because this one means work. So given there are people that have this idea or this belief that there cannot exist good without its counterpart and part evil. Like if you have dark, you need light. You have love, you need hate. You need all the opposites to everything to exist. So
we need all the opposites to evolve. Mm-hmm. We don't need these opposites to exist because in truth, they don't. But you're never going to know that unless you do the work to come to that truth within yourself. The essence of hatred is love. There are no opposites in truth. The essence of darkness is light, or it wouldn't be able to be reborn. Has anybody ever thought of that? There are so many people that come to the Lord, if you will, come to love in the way that they're guided to be reborn in the light, to be forgiven. But see, that love is what you learn how to do within you in the path that we teach others and that I follow myself, that I do myself just to be here. You transform that energy. You don't just push it aside and change your thoughts. So the essence of hatred is love. The essence of darkness is light. In this dimension, it was set up this way. Now, there are many different schools of thought as to how this happened. Okay, so I have heard that, and it's really, if you look at the Bible, right, you do, some people have researched and said it comes from the Bible, and you look at the analogy, I look at it as an analogy, not literal. I think that's where people get in trouble. They interpret things so literally. But, you know, if you really read some of the most ancient writings without the literal interpretations, you get the meaning of them between the lines. You get the energy of what's being said. It's a way that it opens up your consciousness to get the true meaning. But some people say that this planet, this beautiful planet, was once all like Lemuria. So there was nothing but light, and there was nothing but love, and there was nothing but harmony and fruitful gardens and all of that. And that darkness was brought here. You know, beings from another planet had brought darkness here, which divided the minds and the hearts of the humans. And when you're divided, then you're in doubt and fear. Fear was brought here to the planet. And so that could be the analogy in the Bible of what happened, if that in fact was the way it came, you know, it arrived here on the planet. It was brought here from somewhere else. I heard that from an avatar, actually, many, many years ago. He was a dear friend of mine for 20 years. But he said that darkness was brought here to the planet. It didn't always exist. And it was designed that we could grow, because where you have opposites, you know, you're kind of torn apart. And if you're not growing by the things that happen to you, in other words, coming to love on that subject within yourself, then you're just going to keep being a victim or whatever else, you know, that you decide you are. You're going to be a victim or a perpetrator, right? Perpetrators don't like to be vulnerable. Perpetrators have been wounded severely to where they have to protect themselves. They learn how to draw from that consciousness of negative emotion within them, you know, to protect themselves from their environment, their surroundings. There's many different examples of that.
About that you just said. Okay, so the idea that everything was light here, and then all of a sudden someone brought darkness, but then darkness won. And 'cause why is it light? Or why was it, and it continues to be, why is light not more powerful than whatever darkness that could have been brought, so we would blast, and I'm talking we, maybe I want to be part of the light team, why didn't we blast all that darkness immediately away? Why there was such a point where it seemed like the dark would be winning to the light. Where's the power that dark or evil has that seems to be more powerful than good?
It's called fear. The
but
game
there wasn't
of darkness
fear
is about fear. So, but when you take someone, okay, take a child, right? And you put a fearful thought in it, look at its face change. I would, you know, we don't recommend that. But I mean, if you could imagine taking something innocent, and we do quite unexpectedly being parents, right? We instill a little bit of fear. It tends to create like a little rip in their soul, right? A little division. And so they feel that. All right. Now, so I want to back up just a second before I answer that, because you were saying, why is darkness more powerful? Because fear is at the root of all negative emotion. Fear is not more powerful, but that's the game. And every time I say that, I hear that consciousness laughing. Because darkness knows that if it can keep you in fear, it owns your soul. It owns you. It owns your thoughts. It owns your feelings that you ignore to, you know, create these stories to empower more of the illusion. It owns you. It, you know, you have to become, you know, a sovereign being that is from love. Now, when we look at power, there is power, which everybody loves. But what about the power of love? People believe that love is somehow soppy, that love is just too soft and it means puppies and all this stuff. Love is a force. Love is intense. Love transforms. It's the fire of transmutation. So there is nothing meek about love, the power of love. But when you have, when we look in division here, right, when we have flowers and rainbows and all of this, and I don't want anything in my world, I just want this, and, you know, that, I don't want that to be part of it, we create division in that. Now, it's part of the game here on Earth. Duality is the name of the game. And so when you look at how you say, why can't we just blast that away? Why aren't we powerful enough to do that? Because if you take the power of love, it just is. Love is the non-resistant energy that dissolves what we believe is evil on this planet. There's no resistance. It just is. And in that presence of unwavering, unconditional love, everything will change of its own free will. But people get that power thing and they go, we should just blast it. But in this dimension, we also have a thing called physics, and we're in energy, and it says that which you resist will persist. So if you're going at anything with white light and power, it's going to push back and go, yeah, right. We win again, because you're in division. And when you're in love, you're not divided. So there is no division in how you approach something that you would consider evil. Now we look at an example that of Yeshua, walking in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's got that snake, and it's there. He knows it's there. He doesn't think about what he sees. He doesn't think about what he feels. He just keeps walking. And that snake keeps trying to get in and trying to get in and trying to get in, but he's not dividing. He's not judging it. He's not telling it to go away. Right? He's just the constant presence of love. Okay, and that the message that love, the unconditional love, was here to teach us was that anything within you will transform in the unwavering presence of unconditional love, but you have to make that love conscious within yourself. It cannot be done from an outside source, and that's where people go, oh, come on. Now, I've encountered things in external reality that are very dark, that are what people would look at and just run. And there are some levels of that consciousness that will absolutely not transform. They like their game. Their game, that game, is all about manipulation. It's all about control. It's all about deceit. It's all about these things. I mean, I have encountered things that most people wouldn't even understand. And I learned how to decode evil by going through most of this in my life. Yet sometimes things show up, and I mean, it's just wild. And then it'll turn around. It'll try to destroy you mentally, emotionally, and physically, and then say, well, you must have needed to create that for you in order to grow.
I hate when they say that. It's horrible.
I've heard that from a couple of people who are, quote, spiritual, who don't take responsibility for their own actions with their own power. And when you take the energy of power and you put it through the lens of darkness or an unintegrated negative emotion, which is the source of all evil, and you project that and you're claiming to be a healer, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Now, I'm not saying that happens in all cases, but I've seen it in a couple, and that's really something. Because it is a part of them that is so, it makes me feel so much compassion, because I get where they're coming from. It's the self-loathing and unworthiness that they don't feel that they are worthy of the love that they so desperately seek to play those games. And not every part of what we call evil is going to come to know the love of itself, you know? It's not worth your time. Love doesn't care. Love just loves, okay? So it's not going to go, well, my job is to see that you transform, because that would be divided, wouldn't it? There's something wrong with you, so I need to hang out until you get it, because that's my job. Nope. I only work with people who want to work with me. I don't mess around with anybody else, and I've had some pretty tough nuts come into my, teachings. And we're pretty successful at breaking them down. But it's very uncomfortable for them and for me at times. And I have to say to some people, do you really want this? Because if you do, we'll give you everything we got. And if you really don't, then you're just wasting our time. But it'll come back to try to continually mess you up. It's like almost a It's just part of this game here. It's just part of the game. So you can't think your way out of the box. You can't. And there are people that are full of light and so blinded by it that they don't see how their negative emotions that are within their physical body, because if you're in form, you have it. I'm sorry. There is not a being on this planet that doesn't have negative emotion within that form. I don't care how enlightened they are. You may never see it, because if they are truly that enlightened, they will do the inner work to resolve these things because they're self-aware enough to see them before they happen and love themselves more so they don't manifest in physical reality. That, to me, is an enlightened being, you know. Well, we want to use that term kind of loosely, but there it is. So, you know, it's a path of self-awareness through grounding and self-love, which promotes healing. And then arriving at this consciousness of love that doesn't divide within your own mind. And you know, it's powerful. It works. So, yeah, control is it. Now, I've also been told that the Anunnaki came because the reptiles, all of them are lumped into one little category and deemed all bad. But they were not all bad. And the Anunnaki came, that's why the analogy is always of the serpent. And this is who came to divide the hearts and minds of the humans so they could enslave them. Because if you create fear, you can get them to do whatever you want. Haven't you, you know, people go, well, what about Hitler? I'm like, what did he use? He used psychology. He used fear. So that's how he controlled the minds of the people. He was able to, you know, radiate that energy so powerfully that it, you know, it influenced a great amount of people who weren't strong enough in the light within themselves to not become part of his plan. The fear was too strong. So the Anunnaki were given a bad name, most of them. As serpents, and they came to enslave them. Now, part of what I've also heard, and I can't confirm nor did I whether this is true, and this isn't my thing to figure out anyway, but some people say that they did it to mine the resources of this planet. And as us extraterrestrials become more apparent here, some of us have been here a long time doing things differently, and then some of these beings from the Pleiades and, you know, Sirius and all these great, you know, they're making more of an appearance in our world now, right? And so when we look at people or different beings coming to the planet, the humans that were here could be very strongly influenced by them because they have different powers than what humans had here. So, you know, look at governments and how the people are controlled everywhere on this planet. How much of your feelings and beliefs are derived from your true feelings? That's what we ask you in this. Where did evil come from within you? Where did this division come from within you? It's unconscious and it's subconscious. And the more that you're out of touch with that within yourself, the less you see how they're wreaking havoc all over the planet. I always say if people could see negative emotion, they would see that cloud everywhere in their thoughts, radiating energy. It's all energy. If you saw the radiating thoughts of people thinking negative, it would astound you. People feel them.
So, Sylvan, is it time right now to get a caller?
Absolutely. Bring it on. I can talk for hours, so you have to kind of interject.
Okay. Caller 203-522, welcome to CVU. Can I know your first name and where are you calling us from?
Hi, it's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, and I understand that this really isn't reading, but if you want to give me a reading at the end, that's fine, but... respectfully, yeah, I'll make some comments. Everything you say is so true. I'm coming from a different place. And in actuality, so many things that I'm listening to, say, on Blog Talk Radio the past year or so, I'm listening and people give formulas for this and for that and do this and do these steps and so on. And I kind of chuckle and say, it's much more simple. Just pray. just have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I've been ministered to for over a year, I've never been religious, always searching, but always hated it, got angry, left churches, and I found a minister from out west, an amazing, amazing organization.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, it's remarkable. And basically, he's teaching everything that you teach, everything. And then I found a church, and I just recently read, and, you know, they talk about, well, Nephilim or whatever. So even in the Bible, there are these beasts and negative beings, and that could very well be, you know, beings from outer space that have come to take over and bred with them and so on.
What those beasts and things are that appear, they're not from somewhere else. They're a projection of negative emotion interpreted with your senses to look like what you've been told they look like.
Right, but, you know, it's just to have, you know, to consider other things, you know, I came across recently the great flood, Noah building the ship was because, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's interesting ideas. And besides that, what I'm learning to do is that, okay, the minister does believe in, quote unquote, the enemy. And I even asked him about someone within this organization who felt she was attacked by the devil, and she's very, very committed now in this organization. And he said, well, that was what she believed, just as you say. And I think he feels that the enemy is just negative thinking. He also feels very strongly that when we're born, and maybe even before we're born in the womb, or even bring it in earlier, there's a split in our heart. And in that split,
energy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he calls the two splits. One is the carnal mind that tries to work things out intellectually and fix things, just as you're talking about. And the other one is the part that's connected to God. And
who is
that?
Do you mind my asking you, Pat, who this guy is?
Not at all. This is a remarkable man who, I think, in his 30s, got into the most incredible, ended up millions and millions of dollars in debt, and the town, you know, shunned him, and just horrific. And what he did, he was religious, but not like he is now. You know, he had a family, and everyone was angry at him. He had a house to try and hold on to. What he did was go into a room and pray for 8 hours a day, and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And you can imagine his wife and people just thought he was nuts and really angry. Anyway, he started receiving information years ago, and he has developed this process, and it's continually changing.
Yes, this is exactly like me. I woke up in 88,
yeah.
So I can relate. Yep. What's his name, please?
It's called One Whole Heart Ministries out in Iowa, and his name is Chuck DeVetter. I'm going to Google it and look, make sure I get the right spelling. But
that's okay.
Google,
I'll look it up. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. He is just, and, you know, I was just, I'm doing a cohort class run by him and another woman, and I called her up. I'm in such a severe depression right now, and I called her up and said, I just want you to know, I don't want to quit this class. I want you to understand there are going to be days where I can't even talk, where I'm so, so, so depressed. I can't lift my head, but I want to come to the class. And we started talking, and I can't remember why I started this. Anyway, oh, shoot, it was a good point about Chuck.
When what we teach people how to do in this to activate the consciousness of unconditional love that you're actually made of within you, then you begin over time to be able to utilize that love to transform the negative emotions. So we were listening to you, Pat, saying that you've got this depression going on. And so there's a process that we work with people to learn how to utilize that love to transform, to find that part of you that is actually holding on to the vibrational frequency of depression, and it's a non-mental process. It's not just, oh, let me move, you know, like a lot of things are, let's move around this images in the scene and there it is, so it is, I think people say, like poof, it's gone. But it's really a way that you experience yourself as the higher consciousness of love that you are, and transform the parts of you that don't know that they too are higher consciousness. And when that child in you learns to feel the presence of love that has always been there, that always will be there, and she begins to believe that she's made of that because she's being transformed back into it, then that depression and the root cause of that depression, because it will take you to deeper emotions as to why you're depressed, you know, those things being transformed make that less of an energetic frequency within your emotional body. We dissolve them. It's not that you make them go away. It's that they're not really there to vibrate in the same way anymore. You begin to experience yourself as love and love yourself as love. Therefore, you're able to love others as the love you are, because your perception has shifted to the love that you've made conscious within yourself. Now, so many people agree that all there is love. But how can you believe there is evil at all if that's the truth? And, you know, I'm not saying you particularly, but these are questions we ask people. And there's many people in the Create Your Reality, you know, groups that is absolutely true. We do create our reality, and we can create it any way we want. And but they, too, believe that there is evil. And I say, well, if you create your reality, how are you helping to create that experience? And how can you come to love to help recreate something else? So the belief in evil empowers the illusion of evil, and as long as we're empowering that, it has a foothold here in this dimension. And so it's probably a different approach, but the same message. And people say, well, how can that be that someone, you know, and it's because I've found this through not reading people's books, through not going to people's workshops. I have done this work to arrive at these conclusions within myself and facing myself and overcoming these parts that I have judged at times, and it's been a lot, you know, but at this particular time, we're so glad he's getting the message of love out in the way he is, and it's affecting people positively. I think everything people are doing is there is a call for it. Therefore, it's being brought forth to help us with that level of our healing. But I've, you know, with the different modalities that are external, the one thing that I found that was lasting was the transformation of the negative emotion first, rather than to try to figure something out, to really do the inner work to make that love conscious and then experience yourself as that love. So love is a way of being. It's not a doing. And so many people have these things that do love, and they get people, you know, feeling this love, but then the people leave and they don't feel that love because they're not connected to the love that they are within themselves. So it's always this outside-in experience of spirituality. And so just like you said a minute ago, Pat, I don't know what his story was, and that's irrelevant. What he did was he was in a room, and his method of connecting more to that consciousness within himself was to pray. And so this is where he learned to tap that consciousness. Whether, you know, is he making that love, though, conscious within the whole of his being, or just in the knowing of that consciousness? So there is a difference. When you're transforming your own emotional stuff, you become that consciousness itself, not just know it with the mind. And the mind is divided, and the heart is divided. That's a really good point that you brought up. The heart is within the mental body, and people don't really realize that. And so how we interpret love, or how we believe love is through the wounds within our heart. Is it an act of love, or is it really coming from the vibrational frequency of love? And there is a difference. And many times religion teaches us a way to give, but not from love. They give from guilt. We give to others from guilt, or we give to others from shame, or we give to others for other reasons other than giving it from love itself. And religion's been hugely responsible for keeping people in the in division within themselves. Absolutely. So, you know, we find our way when we realize that religion isn't the key for us. And the only way I've found to get out of the box of all of it and continue to do that is through the love that I make conscious within me. and that I learned to be for myself. It's so I'm glad you have people guiding you.
So, Stephen, so pretty much for each individual, it would be whatever comes up in your life, it's to transform whatever is going on through the love that is within you.
Correct.
Because sometimes, and I don't know if that's the case, but sometimes when we hear someone teaching you something, you want to replicate whatever formula or exercise or thing that that person did.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work for you because it's not, if you are, again, replicating someone else's in whatever you think or understood that process was. But it's more an internal process where you're going to be shown what comes up for you, because you're right, the love within you will always work for you and will always be bringing that which is important for you to be transformed. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay, so that's a good point. So many people look at, you know, things, even spiritual people, you know, they'll look for what's trendy in other people's work and then try to adapt these things to their own. And then people want to copy that because that is what they want to feel, but they're not really, you know, it's, and so what that comes from is ego. And ego is based in negative emotion because they have to feel inadequate or they have to feel clever or they have to feel underhanded. They're sneaky. They don't feel good enough. They got to grab on. They won't do the work themselves to get to where that person is or even give them credit for their work, which is unbelievable in the world of spiritual egos. They'll go, oh, that's trendy. She's doing that. I think I'll add this to here, but they have no substance in what they deliver. And therefore it's not of really great help to the people they're serving. They make themselves more important than the people who they're serving. Don't even get me going on that. But anyway, it's the ego that wants to copy. And it's the true desire to be free, to get to know yourself as a love you are. Now, I have students and people that I teach and people that I mentor for years, and everybody's at their own pace of evolution. And there are very few who have the courage to do this work within themselves. It's a very narrow path I'm finding. It's the one thing people want and the biggest thing that they walk away from. You know, they say they want it, but you know, they won't swallow the pill, if you will, you know. What's going to happen, because this reality is duality and people are hanging on to it with everything that they've got, the world is getting ready to change, and that's not new news, right? Everybody knows, but it hasn't changed enough for people to really get what's about ready to happen and in this country and then globally. Because people identify their reality through pain and suffering, it takes a lot more pain to wake them up. And even in the darkest of times, did they really awaken out of the pain of darkness, or did they just carry it forward to continue to create that loop in this reality? We live in a loop that will only be broken. It's like that chain of pain in your family for generations. If we don't come to love within ourselves, that chain is never going to be broken. We can preach all we want. We can walk the, you know, we can talk the talk, but if we're not walking the talk, you know, we're just like a lot of people in the world that don't have the courage to face themselves. It's like if you face yourself with judgment, which most people do, they'll never do the inner work. They don't feel they're worthy of love, so they don't want to do the inner work. If you face yourself with love, that's a totally different story. And there is a way to be able to do that. You just can't think love and heal. You have to be love to heal. And so we help awaken people quite rapidly to the ability of, you know, as long as they're doing their part, we can certainly assist them in their evolution much more quickly than we were able to do 30 years ago. So when the bar is raised yet again in ways that stretch us economically, socially, and spiritually, all these things that seem so horrible are designed to do one thing, to help us evolve. Because you notice when you look at the news and you go, that sucks and he's this. And if you're doing that, that is you. That is your own anger. That is your own stuff. And if you keep looking in the world and empowering that which you're judging, then you're part of the problem. You cannot change anything with the same consciousness that created it. And the same consciousness that created the problem that you have a problem with isn't love. So you've got to come to love and get over yourself, and that will help far more, you know, and more quickly than you realize. So when the bar is raised again, which it is being, we're all getting, you know, the screws put to us in all these different ways, right? People are feeling more pain in different areas of their lives as things change in this world. This world's evolving. It really comes down to evolve or die. Where will you fall when that becomes a wall? What, you know, when the dividing line becomes so stark, where will you fall when that line becomes a wall? Will you fall left? Will you fall right? Or will you be walking the middle line of higher consciousness impervious to it all? I believe that's what Yeshua meant about being in the world and not of the world. I found this really wonderful phrase from Matthew 12:25 that says, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Yep, pretty much. you know, I guess the loop just isn't enough. People don't stop long enough to ponder the fact that we keep recreating these huge examples of how we need to come to love, and what we've been doing isn't really working. Have you noticed? So,
yeah. And Sylvan, so when you are walking in the line, in the middle, in the line, I don't know how you say it, you say it beautifully, but when you are in that line, walking right there, how do you notice if you're turning to the left or to the right, or once you are in that, you remain there, or is it never ending? Are you always going to be struggling between turning left, right? So how do you know?
The line in the middle is love. The line in the middle doesn't care. Its only job is to love. Now, there are circumstances happening in the world right now where people that I know and people that I have worked with and things are having a heck of a time with things. And I just say, well, come and let's find the source of that within you. So I'm able to stand in compassion for what people are so divided about and hold the love line for them to come to the truth of themselves with that love within themselves. So there is no, you don't turn left and you don't turn right. You stand there and you hold the love light with compassion, because I've been through enough to be able to be there for them in the way that they're in so much pain because of division within themselves, you know, that we can remind them of the truth, which is, you know, it's easy for people to say it's an illusion, but they don't really get what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make something wrong and be coming from love. You just can't. There's nothing I have found within myself that is not worthy of love. And there's nothing that I've seen in the world that is not worthy of love. But it doesn't mean that it's its time to become the love that it is either. I mean, there's where free will is, right? Some people find their power in the darkness because that's what's comfortable. They feel their power, but they never come to the power of love. And if you're using the power of light, then you're pushing against instead of making whole. And in that, it continues to divide. So, you know, that middle line is really important. And if it weren't, we wouldn't be manifesting, you know, love wouldn't, it's a step. It's like one of our sayings is duality is the door, love is the key, and God is the revelation. So when you come to love, it dissolves the duality in your mind and heart. And then you don't see things the way other people see them. You see them as a cry for love. And we're not here to try to fix anything, because love doesn't try to fix anything, because love doesn't see anything wrong with anything. It only knows, you know, for me, I come to love within myself instead of making something there wrong. And sometimes I have to hear myself go through my own division in order to come to the deeper love within me, because, of course, all conflict begins and ends right there. So negative emotion, your negative emotion is the source of all evil in your perception and thus in the world. It's divided consciousness, and it begins and ends within you. It's the negative emotions in action that you witness and judge, therefore empower. And when you're willing to learn the path to true love, beginning with loving yourself from the source of love you make conscious within yourself, there will be no more. There will be more love light made conscious within this seemingly divided world. I mean, that's the game, is duality. And your perception creates it. It creates the story about how it feels, and it doesn't even know that it's interpreting how it feels.
So just one last question. So what is the difference between having a negative emotion and having an opinion, not agreeing about something?
Well, it's both. An opinion is derived from a negative emotion. It's like everyone has their own perspective, and their perspective, and people say, oh, well, evil is just a perception. Well, yeah, it is. And everyone has their own perception of what that is. But they're perceiving how they actually feel about themselves in the situation without knowing it. Opinions usually come from people who read a lot of books and listen to other people's talks, and they agree with everyone on a mental level, as if you can talk your way out of the box, as if somehow everything that you have to figure out is, well, everything you have, they think that you can figure everything out, and that's always in the mind, but the mind's perceptions are always started within the emotional body. It's just your mind perceiving how you felt, but when you start thinking, you deny how you feel and have an opinion about everything. So it's always from the ego. But everybody, you know, people, it's sad to me that people can't sit and have, you know, really heartfelt discussions about things just like this without being offended. And offended is based in negative emotion too. Everyone being offended all the time pushes a button within their emotional body that they want to control somebody outside of them to stop doing what they're doing so they don't feel the way that they do. And that's psychology 101. No one can make you feel the way you don't already feel. You have to feel that way in order to feel what you're feeling. So all these ways we try to control external reality to feel better about ourselves when all we have to do is love ourselves to feel better about external reality. It's the inside-out approach, and the outside-in is how we've been taught everything, and that's where the problem lies. And I just say to people, what would you do if you couldn't get a hold of the person you used to, lifting you up, holding you up, keeping you in the light because you haven't learned how to do that yourself? What happens if all that is, you're unplugged from all the ability to get to any of that? How much are you aligned with the light within you, regardless of what happens around you?
And that is a good question to end the show today. So just think about that. And again, everyone listening to this, send us your comments. Put it out there on Facebook.
Please.
And what do you think about that? And bring us to the conversation. Put it on the table. And thank you. So can you remind us, if we want to contact you directly, what is the best way to do such?
The best way to contact me is through my email address, which is sovereignmastery@gmail.com. You can always go to my Siobhan Nicolau, The Sword of Truth Facebook page, and reach me there, leave a comment, whatever you'd like. And there you go. And if you're interested in buying a copy of my book to even get, it's good to have a backstory about these conversations. And if you were to purchase my book, you'd understand more about how I came to this consciousness within myself. And it was truly being thrown in the fire of non-duality and saying, here, you know, evolve or die. Thank God I didn't realize that was the gig then.
And the book is Absence of Evil, and where can we get it?
The Absence of Evil, yes, Love's Reclamation of the Soul. You can go on Amazon is the quickest way to get your copy. We also have an ebook version on Amazon as well. And you can go to my website, myname.com, SIOBHANNICOLAOU.com. And you can order one there too if you would prefer a signed copy. We'll be happy to pop that in the mail for you.
Well, thank you so much for this conversation. For I'm going to be thinking about this for some days.
Good.
I hope everybody enjoys this. Please share. And remember, Sylvan will be back in 2 months. So she's coming back. So we are in May, June, July. July 12th, we have her here with another beautiful conversation. And the topic will be revealed shortly. Thank you, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.